Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders podcast. Real quick, if you are watching right now, go give our video a like.
Yeah.
It's right there. Real quick, it's very depressing liking your own videos.
Which is what we do.
We are the comic book club. We're a comic book club. I'm not going to say the definitive one.
No, we are the comic book club.
But what we do here is we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
Yep. If there's any other podcast that wants to take the mantle, I will gladly fight them.
We will duel them.
We will duel them in hand-to-hand combat. I feel like we had a pretty good shot at winning. So, we are the comic book club.
Yeah, we could fight a bunch of nerds.
Yeah.
Some comic nerds.
We're not nerds.
Yeah.
We just read comic books exactly. And talk about them at length.
We start with the news. Go.
Okay, Daniel, lots of new... remember when we talked a little bit ago about how DC doesn't have any ongoing titles outside of Bat Family stuff, except for like two other books?
Yes.
Well, that's going to change, Daniel.
Today.
Not today. And
tomorrow.
Starting next year? But they announced a bunch of new things, new ongoing series that are to come out.
That's our New Year's resolution.
Yeah, the New Year's resolution is to get away from so many goddamn Bat books. And so coming next year, we have Superboy, Man of Tomorrow. We already knew that. That was a DC round robin winner from Kenny Porter and Janoi Lindsay. We have Unstoppable Doom Patrol.
Hey. Oh, yeah, dude. We got
by Dennis Culver and Chris Burnham. We have Green Lantern Hal Jordan by Mariko Tamaki with artists to be announced. Green Lantern John Stewart by Philip Kennedy Johnson. I'm pretty excited about that.
Nice.
Batman, The Brave and the Bold by Tom King, Mitch Gerrits, Gillum March, Gabriel Hardman, Dan Mora, and Rob Williams, and more. So,
wow.
I don't know what that's going to look like. I figure it's probably just rotating artists per issue, because I doubt that they're balancing like five top artists
maybe
in one book, but we'll see. Green Arrow by Joshua Williamson, Shazam by Mark Waid and Dan Mora.
Yes, sir.
That's so exciting to me. And then The Penguin by Tom King and Stefano Gaudiano or something like that. So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
It's a year-long initiative dubbed Dawn of DC, and it includes 20 new titles, but those are the exciting ones.
Yeah, the other ones are not exciting. Don't buy them.
Yeah.
Nathan, we got a trailer for the animated movie Legion of Superheroes. I know you didn't watch it because for some reason you just never see trailers.
No, I didn't see this one. But like, I figured I would have seen this one because like Bendis is writing it, isn't he?
I don't know, but looks cool. It looks more like, it doesn't look like their normal kind of animated movies. It looks like just different. I don't really know how to describe it. And I also can't remember. Amazon. The studios where they got movies and stuff, they're moving forward with a TV series about Silk in the Sonyverse.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I heard about this and I was like, Amazon, that's weird. But then I realized that they don't have their own streaming platform. So it makes sense that, so it makes sense that it would go there because they tried doing their own streaming service where they put powers. And then that's not a thing anymore.
PlayStation Network.
Yeah, PlayStation Network, which was weird. But yeah, that makes sense. So Silk. Okay. Everyone's favorite spider derivative
character. I don't even know if Silk has been in any like Spider-Verse books that I've read.
I've seen her in stuff, I think. But
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Same. But she's got like one good run, I think. I can visualize the cover of like issue one and people are like, this is pretty good.
Sure.
So, Daniel, big news. Are you familiar with the game Fall Guys?
Yeah.
They have skins from Invincible.
Whoa!
So
that's sick.
There's Invincible and here is Adam Eve. Big news.
That's very exciting. I'm glad you wrote that down.
I saw this and I didn't think that it was real and I had to ask and it is real.
Who'd you ask to confirm that?
I just asked whoever posted it on Twitter. I was like, is this real? And they said yes.
That's hilarious.
And
do they have that on like Xbox yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on Xbox, PC, and I it's on PlayStation. I think it's coming to mobile or something. But yeah, it's very fun, and you know,
that is very fun.
I will pay money for this.
Well, how much money are you willing to pay for this?
Like a lot.
Like $10.
Probably like upwards of like $25-$30.
You pay $25 for some skins on a game that I've never heard you actually play.
I've spent $200 on Valorant skins.
Oh my lord.
For a free game. So how does that make you feel? they're really cool skins though, let me tell you.
I feel like I spent like a little bit too much on Rocket League.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because like you got to buy the seasons.
And then you get bored of like the skin that you bought.
Yeah, and then I'm like, maybe I'll just buy this like mystery box thing. Stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's probably between the $100 and $200 range. Because like it always felt so little. Every little one I did.
Yeah.
Then I'm sure just adding it up, it'd be just like,
At least I've never, like for Valorant, there's like a bunch of guns and rifles and stuff that you could have like in each game. And so I wanted a skin for every single one. You get free ones by doing like the battle pass if you pay like $5 or $10 for it, I think it is. Uh-huh. But then there's really cool ones that they come out with like every like month or two. And you're like, and they have different animations to like reload, and they sound different when you shoot them, like bassier or something like that. Or like different a lot of effects.
Bass in my gunfire.
There's some that look like Nerf guns, and they sound like Nerf guns when you shoot them. And that's amazing. That's funny. Yeah. And so that's why I buy those. But anyway. What else you got, Daniel?
Nathan, friend of the pod, John Layman, has three books that have been approved like this week or something.
I heard that.
He's committed to doing more Bermuda.
Oh, sweet.
And doing more Chew with a U.
Okay, that's good.
And
was that one of the books that was approved? More no. Chew with a U? Or?
No.
Oh, okay.
So three separate books.
On top of Bermuda and Chew with a U.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And he's going to be working with Rob Guillory in the future.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That's awesome. I saw that he had three new projects that were approved over the course of like 3 days, I think he said.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I'm leaving Twitter.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody. And then I DM'd him and I was like, hey, it was cool having you on and I like your stuff. And he's like, do you have my email? And I was like, no. And then he gave me his email. So we'll have him on probably later.
Sick.
When he's closer to release.
Yeah, maybe do in person this time.
That'd be kind of interesting. Yeah. I don't think he would go over to some random person's house, but
just come over. We'll make you dinner.
But good for him. Big W for that guy.
Yeah. Love seeing his stuff.
What else you got?
That's all I got.
That's all I got. So all right, it's a very slow week.
And that's okay.
And that is okay. So let's just go into the book that we read this week, Daniel.
Nathan, what did we read?
We read Kick Ass. The Dave... how do you say his name? Luizki? The Dave Luizki.
Luizki.
Luizki years. This is like the recollection of Kick Ass from Mark Miller in JRJR John Romita Jr. A fan favorite on this podcast.
Of course.
What did you think?
Nathan, I have to say that this is my favorite JRJR property.
I think that this is also my favorite JRJR like thing,
because like
it's got a lot of energy.
It does have a lot of energy,
which
and
is
I
cool.
think he handles it pretty well. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I just feel like when you have no frame of reference to what you're reading and it's just like what you know about the property is just his artwork, I think it just works a little bit better.
Yeah.
Rather than like comparing like his Spider-Man to every Spider-Man I've ever seen or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because
but, like his Kick-Ass is like the only Kick-Ass I've ever seen. So that I think it just kind of works better.
Yeah. It seems like his style is very specific. And so when he tries to translate that with various characters like Batman or Superman or Spider-Man, it just like doesn't feel like his best.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed this because he was able to sort of lean into like what his strengths are.
Right.
And his strengths are drawing people getting beat the fuck up.
Yeah, very.
Which is super fun to read in this book. But yeah, this is definitely like my favorite work from his that I've read.
Still, and it includes inker Tom Palmer, colors Dean White, and letterer Chris Eliopoulos.
Eliopoulos. He always pops up every once in a while.
Yep.
Obviously, there's a movie that was made from this. Pretty good. We wanted to read this because we wanted some blood. You know, we hadn't seen some blood in a while. Last week's...
A lot of Marvel stuff.
A lot of Marvel stuff with no blood.
No, Yeah.
Close to no blood.
Basically no blood, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we haven't seen any blood since Kiss Zombies, pretty much.
Oh my God, that's so long ago.
That was so long.
Feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, so this was a good palate cleanser from the weak shit.
I needed the opposite of like a chaser movie.
Yeah.
You know, from after you watch something grim and you watch something happy, I need the opposite of that.
Yes,
too exactly. much happiness, too much brightness. I needed some murder.
Yeah, same. So, get into it. This is a pretty big book, by the way. It's like eight issues.
But it didn't feel like 8 issues.
Yeah.
Which is, I liked. This I noticed has like incredible pacing.
It does. And I noticed that I burned through like 3 issues in like half an hour. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah. It's, I think that's one of my favorite things about Mark Miller. He just like knows how to like really keep you going and
yeah.
not really like stop you.
He's really good at doing more with less, I've discovered.
Yeah.
And he's also really good at continually elevating a story.
Yeah.
Because there's multiple parts in here where I was like, damn, that was crazy. But then like if you kind of just take a step back, you're like, that's not like the craziest thing I've seen, but it feels so big here.
Right.
You know? Which I'll mention.
So but you start small, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So it opens with a dude trying to fly with a wingsuit and he dies landing on a car. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's not me. This is me. This is me now getting my nuts electrocuted. But how did I get here, Daniel? This kid's like that kind of thing.
Yeah, we love that.
And then the story introduces Dave Lazowski, who kind of looks like Jeffrey Dahmer. I couldn't get that out of my head.
Oh, dang it. I was just kind of rolling with it, but now I see exactly what you mean.
As soon as I like turned the page, it was because I was watching like the Netflix Dahmer show right before this, and I was like, damn, this definitely.
Then Evan Peters was in this movie.
I know, which
but,
is weird,
but
right?
He wasn't Dave. Like,
I didn't even make that connection.
What was that? What was the dude's name? Aaron Paul Jenkins or something? Who plays Kick-Ass?
Fuck, it is three names, isn't it? He's going to play fucking... Hold on.
Craven. Aaron Taylor Johnson.
You got it. Nice job. Got it. I would have ruined it.
He didn't show it to me. I'll show your...
Yeah, check the tapes.
Check the tapes.
So yeah, Dave is basically just like a horny kid with a comic book obsession. So like, most relatable thing ever. Hey,
This book is set in real life.
Correct.
We talk about Marvel books. We talk about DC books.
Yes. A lot of references.
And how there's no real superheroes for some reason. You know, so a lot of references to stuff in movies and whatnot.
Yeah, which I enjoyed. And it's interesting to see how some of that's been dated. Because they mentioned MySpace a lot. It's actually a big part of this book. Which is funny.
And
there's a dated reference here. Joss Whedon's X-Men.
Yeah,
I wonder if he would have picked that same run of X-Men if he was writing this now, and I don't think so.
Probably not. Maybe
I'm sure
Grant Morrison.
I'm sure the X-Men is still good. We should we read it? I don't know. I've always wanted to because I've heard it's good.
I've read it. It's like all right.
It's
like pretty good. It like looks incredible. You know what I mean?
Right. Because it's like.
So we'll talk. We'll read it, but not talk about how good the writing is. If it is good.
Yeah.
We'll just be like, this art is cool.
Okay. Sounds good.
We'll just be like, this artist wrote it too.
This artist did. Yeah. They did it Marvel style, actually.
Written by somebody and art by.
Yeah. So Dave finally works up the courage to become a superhero himself. He gets a suit off of eBay, which is supposed to be like, how did they say it was like a.
Like a wetsuit?
A wetsuit, which is a pretty sick wetsuit, honestly.
Yeah.
And he patrols at night. He doesn't really find anything until he runs into a group of guys doing a graffiti. And he's like, these guys need to get their ass beat. And then he gets his ass beat. And then he gets stabbed and then run over. So it's so brutal, like seeing him get fucked up. Like JRJR can do like a pretty fun fight scene that like feels really honest, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because it starts off with like a sucker punch, basically. And then he gets immediately kicked in the nuts. And I'm like, that would happen.
Right.
And then like he's like hitting people with bottles and shit. And people are just kind of like wailing on him. So I really enjoy the action here. And seeing him get stabbed feels like, oh, fuck, you know.
I was like, what? He's going to die now? You know?
Yeah.
Because that was like to the rib cage, you know?
Yeah, that's like a
potential lung.
That is a tough place to take a knife.
Yeah.
You know, and then he just kind of like wanders off and gets rolled over. And there's so much blood. He's really good at like drawing blood. It's like a Ryan Notley like level of blood, I feel like, comes out of this.
You haven't read as much Ryan Ottley as I have.
Yeah, that's true, but it's like a more kind of grounded, but it's still very elevated level of blood that comes in.
I like the volume of blood.
Correct.
I would say it's not necessarily the best blood I've ever seen. But yeah,
I think that he definitely exaggerates blood coming out of someone's face.
Sure.
Because like that, you wouldn't see that. It would be like drips of blood, but like he just like streams of blood, I feel like.
Right, which is cool.
Visually.
It works for the book.
Yeah, you know? I agree. So that's pretty much issue one. And then issue two, Dave wakes up in the hospital and he finds out that he basically managed to strip butt-ass naked and hide his suit before he was found unconscious.
Oh, yeah. They didn't really explain that, did they?
No, they did. They explained that he was found naked and he, like, you could see there's, like, a panel where his suit is, like, stuffed under a car. So he did that himself before being found.
Gotcha.
And so the whole thing was assumed to be, like, a mugging, just, like, a basic mugging. And so he goes through, like, a ton of operations and surgeries. He racks up a ton of medical debt for his dad and he feels super guilty. But as soon as he's good again, he puts that suit right back on.
Yes, sir.
Hop right back on the horse.
Maybe.
Yeah, or else the horse wins.
Yeah, can't let them win.
But that is so stupid because they really drive in the point that like he cries for hours because of the amount of like medical debt he racked up for his dad. And he's like, this was so stupid. He burns his comic books. And then as soon as he can walk again, he's like, I'm going to put that suit back on.
Yeah, dude. Like, I hate when in like fiction they have like money problems because I just feel like I'm always in some sort of money thing.
Yeah.
And so like I just never want to just experience that when I'm trying to not experience that, you know, to get away, be that, because it's supposed to be like that escape.
Supposed to be escapism.
So that this isn't like shove that in your face, but like
it's definitely it shows a real
how
thing.
Very real
this is
and how it could happen, and this is what would happen if you tried that shit.
Yeah, like I like that it's like his origin story is that he got his ass beat and had to go through like a year pretty much of recovery almost.
Right.
Or like months and months. And so now he's got like plates in his head and shit. So yeah, very
he crushed his spine and had two broken legs.
Also, we get some famous swollen face that I guess JRJR's really likes doing, I've
yeah.
noticed.
Like, I guess it makes sense, and that's what would happen, but it does get pretty, like, intense with the face.
Yeah, it does. So, while walking around, Kick-Ass finds a confrontation with some, like, mob boss people, and they're, like, beating up a dude. So, he fights off, like, three guys while a crowd watches and basically records him, which this is also a fight that feels really long and messy, which I love. There's like six whole pages of like this fight of him trying to like protect this dude that's getting beat on. Like someone throws a trash can at some point, which I think is really funny. And there's this like panel where he hits this dude like straight in the mouth with like his baton thing, which also looks funny to me. But I just like love this action. So
I love like a couple pretty much silent pages, you know?
Yeah, of just like action and blood. And I like his new sticks. But I hate how he has the sticks, like, on his back. There's just, like, a metal bracket that doesn't make sense to me. Have you seen this? It's just, like, a metal. Like, where are you
those
screwing those
slip
in?
Slip out.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So, like, that's,
because
like
it has to be loose enough for you to pull them out.
And then when you see his back later, you don't see that bracket. So, it's just, like, that's the only, like, design element that, like, bothers me.
It's still there, isn't it? I think it's just, like...
Oh, I guess that yellow piece. But they really try and just, like, not... They didn't really figure that part out, you know?
Yeah.
Make it magnetic or something. I don't really care. But having just like a bracket that looks like it's screwing into your back, I think is a little funky.
Yeah. That is weird.
And then someone's recording on their flip phone, Daniel. So that's fun.
Yeah. Some high quality videography there.
Yeah. So then in issue three, the video goes viral and they name him Kick-Ass. Which gets the attention of the mob boss, Mr. Genovese, John Genovese. They call him John G. And Dave feels like all confident at school and shit. And he's even talking to his crush, Katie. But the rumor went around that Dave is like super gay. So that's why Katie's talking to him, not because of like his confidence.
There's a rumor that he's a hooker.
Yeah. There's a rumor that he was found naked on the street because he's like a hooker. And
yeah.
The mugging was from like being a hooker. But Dave kind of just leans into being gay so that he can get closer to Katie.
Mm-hmm,
so that's That's something.
Always a good idea.
There's a rumor going around that I was gay in high school.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, how did this even happen?
People ask me. I'm like, I don't know.
Did they? Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I don't know why. I wasn't like popular, you know? So mm-hmm. I'm like, why did this spread around so much? But it did, and I could tell, because there were like people that were actually gay that were like more interested in me, which is an interesting experience. But yeah,
so like, all your friends are gay.
So like I could believe that like this rumor would go around that Dave is gay.
Oh yeah,
especially after like a mugging and stuff. That's got to be everywhere. So Dave gets pepper spray from his dad, and he goes kick-assing again at night, and he starts taking like requests from people from MySpace. And so for like superhero work and stuff. So that brings him to this guy named Eddie at his like apartment or something. And this Eddie guy has been harassing his ex online. So he goes to start this pretty ambitious fight, I would say, like from Dave's side, because it's like just him.
Versus like six people.
Yeah, versus like six people. And he's like, I'm going to break your legs. I don't know how he thought this fight was going to go, but he almost dies until Hit Girl shows up and starts stabbing and slicing through everyone.
Yeah.
Which is part of like the elevation that I was talking about, because like this book has been pretty brutal with fights so far, but seeing someone get their head sliced off like really like ramps it up.
I love a good head slicing, yeah. Especially with like seeing the inside of the brain and whatnot.
Yeah, that's just
like good. Getting decapitated, yeah. It just like feels too overused, you know?
Yeah.
But a cut right through the head, that's awesome.
That's brutal.
They did it in House of the Dragon, and it was sick.
Oh, cool.
I was like, that's the best.
Well, this guy was also sliced like through the stomach, and you could see some guts and stuff coming out. So yeah. This guy really got the works. But yeah, Hit Girl, pretty sick design. I don't get what the lock is for on her cape. Just keep it in place, maybe. But
yeah, I'm glad they got rid of that for the movie.
Yeah, it seems like a weird design choice. But
it's like, those metal, if it's like a real lock, that's kind of like heavy. And yeah. You just have to carry that around.
If you're jumping
like
around it hits you in the chin. Yeah. No good.
No good.
But issue 4, we see Hit Girl slicing through the rest of everybody that's there.
Hold on 1 second. Sorry. There's something I wanted to bring up. There's something I thought was kind of funny. I'm reading this on Hoopla, right? And if on the double page spread where he's like climbing up to go to that apartment, you can like see the seam in the middle. You might have to grab my phone in order to see it. But like the seam from like the pages.
Do you see that? Oh yeah. I noticed that too on Comixology's end.
It is?
Yeah.
It's on yours too?
Yeah.
It's so weird. I feel like it should be like perfect, you know?
Yeah. I don't know how that happened. Obviously they're working with like, I actually don't know how double page spreads work. Like, do they grab two different pages and just like draw all over both of them? Or
I
like,
I think they do. But I also don't know.
I've never understood that. But yeah, there is like a little line that goes in. Oh, actually, no. On this one, I don't see it on that particular double page spread where he's about to jump a rooftop.
Okay.
But I have seen it in like other double pages.
Hoopla was like, oh, we're trying to make it more realistic. Like you're holding a real book.
Yeah.
Like, no, I get what this is.
Yeah. Hold on, give me 1 second. Sophia sent me a voice message, and I just want to make sure she's okay.
Put it on the pod.
Yeah, I'm going to actually head home. I might start preparing the food early.
Okay, sorry.
You're good. It seems like once people start going to like voice memos, they can never go back, you know?
Yeah, I just text her back every time. I'm not going to like respond.
You just talk back and forth. Like, you should just be on a phone call.
She always does that in the car, which makes sense.
Sure, not looking at your phone and whatnot.
Yeah, but she also does that sometimes. Like, she does that exclusively with one of her friends.
That's hilarious.
And it's like a minute long, like, message, 2 minutes sometimes. And it feels just like a podcast.
One of our recurring guests, Jordan, whenever we're talking about something, like on, like just texting or whatever, and there's something that's just like way too long for him to explain, like over text, he's like, I'm not going to type this shit out.
All right, bitch. Here we go.
Here's how it works. Yeah.
That's funny. I mean, that's smart.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
It's just funny to go from like, he's like clearly like on the bed or something or on the couch.
Yeah. But we got issue 4.
Issue 4. Hit Girl slices through everybody, like the rest of everyone, and then escapes with Big Daddy. We don't know their names yet, but they jump across rooftops and whatnot. And Dave's like, what the fuck? I can't jump across rooftops.
Dude, they should not have changed the Big Daddy design in the movie.
Dude, it looks great, right?
This is so sick.
I think he has such a cool design because he's so like big. Like, it really leans into like JRJR's style.
Yeah.
So he looks really cool, I think. So I don't even really remember what Big Daddy looks like in the movie.
He looks like Batman.
Oh, he does look like Batman.
Right?
Nah, I feel like they should
have just kept it, right?
I get why they did it, because they're like, we need like an established superhero. We need to communicate that they're like established people. And so they're like, let's just lean into like a Batman Robin type deal. But I still feel like it would have been better if they were just did the JRJR design.
True. But this guy looks more
like Grifter.
No. Who's that dude? The Skeleton Boy comic from Black Hammer. Is it Bone Crusher or something?
Yeah, I think so. Hold on. That book is so good, too.
It's Bone something, right?
Skull Smasher?
Skull Digger.
Skull Digger. That's what it is.
Yeah. He looks like almost like Skull Digger.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be sick if they just kind of did this instead.
Yeah.
I guess this doesn't match like Nick Cage's like body type or whatever. But if he has like a jacket on, you know. Like,
I feel like it would have been fine.
Yeah, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think the design, like, it looks like. These all kind of have like a little bit of originality to them, you know?
Yeah, but it's also like, it has like an element of realism, because like these masks are just like pieces of cloth and shit, right? So they're not like overly like padded and stuff.
Right.
So that's what I like about these designs. He did a really good job like finding that line where there's obviously like these established people, but they're not like making Iron Man suits or anything.
Yeah, it looks like his chest piece in the movie is like close to it, like shape wise, but just like, and then the color's cool, you know?
I agree.
Some maroon, can't go wrong.
I also like this beginning splash page where this dude gets the
kebab.
He gets kebabbed like from under the chin up through the top of the head. And then just like the blood flow there, like through the nose and shit. Like it's really a sweet page.
Something I didn't love was JRJR's like in motion panels, like this one where
she lands on the roof. Yeah. I was cool with that. People do it in their own way.
I get what's happening, but it's not super readable.
Yeah,
but, you know, I won't argue.
Yeah, but I like that the action, they find a way to kill everybody in like a unique way. You know, it's not just like, oh, this
just person a bunch gets of stabbies.
It's not like a bunch of stabbies or a bunch of people getting sliced through the head. Like the girl getting double stabbed and like you see the swords go through the door. I was like, that's creative.
Great.
You know, so
I feel like, Wolverine did that, you know,
he's probably done that a couple times. Yeah. So at first, Dave is worried about the rumors or the murders being pinned on him, but the police couldn't really figure out anything. They kind of chalked it up to gang violence or something. And then John G's mobsters, they know about Hit Girl and Big Daddy, and they know that they're kind of working to take out every mobster that John G has. So we see them kind of getting a plan together to take them down. Meanwhile, Hit Girl and Big Daddy get a ton of information from one of John G's men by crushing him in like a trash compactor or a car compactor.
Yeah.
Which is a brutal scene.
Great way to go.
That's really creative, but I like seeing his head just like pop. Like that shit that shit was crazy.
Yeah.
Like you see his eyes like pop out and shit. It's it is brutal. So
a couple things.
Pretty fun.
Kick Ass like tries to like look up Hit Girl and Big Daddy, mm-hmm. but he like can't. Like they're super like incognito.
Yeah, they're really smart about hiding their identity.
Right.
Meanwhile, everybody else is like trying to form like their own sort of superhero duo thing online.
Right. So, I thought they were more like cosplaying, but
yeah, pretty much cosplay. Like there's not a lot of people doing like a whole lot of action.
So. Yeah. And because of like all the murders and how deep Kick-Ass has gotten into this, he like chooses to retire. Like,
yeah.
Basically like give it up.
He
does that like about 4 or 5 times in the book.
he said it officially on MySpace this time though. So it's pretty big.
Yeah. We get a scene in a comic store, which is always good.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
And there's some rich kid. And this rich kid, he like leaves with a short box full of new comics.
Can you imagine?
Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
I wouldn't even want that.
I know. How does he have the time?
How does he have like
he's like, I'll buy everything.
That to your car?
He probably double buys so that he could keep one and then like save one.
That's
like,
even more annoying. How do you keep track of all that?
Just
mark your boxes.
Put one in like a bag and board and just leave the other one loose.
That's fair. I mean,
because if you're saving one, like, and you're trying to resell for like collectability or whatever, you just put that one in.
I suppose.
Yeah, I like that they're in like comic. It's always fun to just like have characters be in a comic book shop when you're reading a comic book, but and then they're like,
he gets like everything that's released that week.
That's crazy. I have actually heard of someone doing that, like at Ash or something.
Dude, that's like that's got to be like 100 comics.
That's a full time job.
Yeah,
if you're trying to like read all of them.
Yeah, be caught up. Oh yeah. My god,
it's crazy. They mentioned like a book,
Marvel 1985.
Is that what? Is that real?
Yeah, I've read it.
Did Mark Miller write it?
He did.
That's so funny.
He's plugging his own book.
I love that.
He's like, yeah, it's like the real world if like the Marvel characters just came in the real world. And I'm like, oh, look at this guy.
That's funny. That would have been funny
he's cross promoting right now.
It would have been funny if he has like four books and he's like, okay, so this one's like them in 1985. This one, Iron Man and Captain America fight each other. And then in this one, Wolverine's old. Like
yeah.
all of his big like his hits.
This one,
Superman's a Russian.
This one, it's John Romita Jr. again, but with Wolverine.
This one looks like photorealistic because in their perspective, they're all like JRJR drawings.
Right. Oh, that'd be such a deep cut. Because you'd have to know his other work and like who is on it.
JRJR would be the Alex Ross in this universe because everything looks so realistic.
Oh my God. I just threw up my mouth a little.
All right. Issue five. Kick-Ass has been inspiring a ton of new heroes, including one called the Red Mist, who kind of overtook Kick-Ass in popularity. And Dave is like fighting people online that are like shitting on Kick-Ass. And he's like, you know, fighting them. He's like saying like Kick-Ass did all this shit first or whatever. And then he's still being the gay best friend to his love interest, Katie. I like the line where he's hanging out with Katie and there's like a little caption and it just says, honesty is rarely the best policy in this situation. So I'm just going to keep this lie going.
Yeah.
And it'll probably go well for me. And then I also like how the comic book store owner is kind of like leaning into like the Red Mist versus Kick-Ass debate. And he's like capitalizing on it. He's like selling shirts and shit.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty funny. But then Kick-Ass meets Red Mist in person to confront him about Red Mist biting his shit, but then he figures out he kind of has them all wrong, and Red Mist is like a big fan. So they go on a
ride along.
On a ride along.
Wait, what do they call it? A patrol.
And so Red Mist has like never really done anything that was said on the internet. He just kind of has these connections that he leaks to police, and then he just like takes credit for taking them down or something like that.
Mm.
And so he's like never really done anything. He just kind of like runs around and he like smokes weed and then he posts about it online, like about his accomplishments. But then there's an apartment fire that they drive by. So Kick-Ass makes Red Mist run in to save a resident's kid named Charlie, who ends up being a cat. And then they have to be saved by the fire department when the building collapses. But the news still kind of went nuts and so they're like praising them for like running in and stuff.
Yeah, the cat was still alive.
Yeah, and remarkably. And they're still
came
alive.
Out of it, you know.
It's funny that the fire department was like, get these idiots out of here. Like, what are they doing? Like, they did a heroic thing, and then the fire department's like, these guys could have died. You guys are stupid.
No, dude, firefighters like don't like people like trying to help.
Yeah, you know? No, that's like, it just complicates their job.
Yeah.
Easily, yeah. So I just thought that was funny. And then they had to like promise the cops to like not do it again.
And here they go, you know.
And then Hit Girl and Big Daddy recruit Kick-Ass to take down the mob. Big Daddy looks especially huge here.
Yeah.
He's got like
full body shot,
crazy shoulders and shit.
Dude, I feel like, you know how, you know, me and you both follow like a ton of artists and stuff like that. And, you know, people will be doing like the Spooktober like thing where they post like something every day or whatever. And or they just post their like commissions and stuff.
Sure.
I never see any for Big Daddy. You know what I mean? Like, you'll see Kick-Ass maybe, or like a Hit Girl, or mostly the big two kind of characters,
mm-hmm.
or maybe I mean, something Image, but I don't think I've ever seen any other artist's rendition of Big Daddy. I feel like some people could kill it.
Is anyone really like a big fan of Big Daddy over any other character, though?
I like Big Daddy more than Kick-Ass in
he
this.
Is kind of an asshole once we figure out what he's about.
Kind of.
He's not a great guy.
He looks cool though.
But he does look cool. I agree that like, you know, some artists would kind of kill it with this design, but Yeah, I don't think anybody's like reading this book and thinking like Big Daddy's the best part of this. You know? But yeah, that's true. What are some other obscure ones you never seen?
You know, I might have seen like the movie version of Big Daddy done by somebody.
That's worse.
Which is worse. Yeah. Where he's got like a mustache. I know he's got a mustache in this, but like I feel like you really know he's got a mustache in like the movie, you know?
I mean, he's really got a mustache in this. Mm-hmm. He's got that ones that like connect to your sideburns. That's pretty cool.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he does.
Impressive.
So issue 6, we get some Hit Girl origins with some cool moments, like her taking her first bullet at age 12. That was pretty nice.
Yep.
She gets her first M16. We see some training and we see her killing people while being quizzed on guns and shit. Yeah. Which is a fun scene.
Which makes you a better marksman.
Yes, I guess, knowing who invented the M16. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the motivation is that they are trying to avenge Hit Girl's mom, who was killed by John G's mobsters. So that's why they're doing everything. Which brings up working with Kick-Ass and Red Mist. I love the coloring for like this flashback sequence, how it's more like sepia tone.
Yeah.
I think it just looks really good visually. And like just overall, like this book has really good coloring.
Definitely.
Because they balance like a lot of action, a lot of blood and stuff, but it looks like everything pops.
So J.R. does the colors, does he?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he's ever done colors.
Okay, okay.
The colorist is Dean White.
Dean White.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen his stuff before.
Yeah.
Maybe on other J.R. familiar. Stuff, but...
Yeah, probably other J.R. What is your opinion on J.R.'s kid drawings? Specifically Hit Girl, because we see her like without a mask and stuff here. I know that kids are hard.
I feel like he does it well. I know kind of the things you'd look for when it comes to kid drawings, but I guess if you don't see the perspective shots of her, then you might think she's an adult.
Yeah.
But some of these shots do look like, oh yeah, that's like a child, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think overall he's like pretty good, but there's some panels that if you see them isolated, you can tell that was a kid. But most, like every other time, like proportions are good. I just think the nose might be a little bit too big.
Sure.
In some, and like the head feels like it's pretty big too, but everybody's head feels kind of big.
That could be like,
so that's like
kind of his proportion kind of thing.
Yeah. But I think overall he kills it.
He does. Maybe he's thinking too hard, but I feel like this one's a pretty good one too.
I think that nose is too big.
Okay. Yeah. Fair. I get that. Cause like when you're a kid, Your nose is super small and your nose never stops growing, you know?
Yeah, so exactly.
Adults have big noses.
She's going to have a big honker when she grows up. So Big Daddy blackmails Kick-Ass into helping them take down John G, or else he'll get outed on the internet for his like identity.
Yeah.
And so Kick-Ass convinces Red Mist to at least meet with them later to see what this is about. And then Kick-Ass...
You like, say that Big Daddy was a cop?
No, I didn't. But yeah, that was part of his origin.
Right. Sorry. Go ahead.
And then Kick-Ass like suits up and then he goes to Katie's window and he's like, I'm not gay. And then he runs off, which is really funny.
And then she just sees like someone dressed like Kick-Ass running away.
She's like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
I really like this. This is like a very small panel, but I like how he like runs away, like how it looks visually, because he's very like low to the ground. And I was like, damn, it looks kind of cool, actually. But yeah, so that happens.
It's like you're trying to crawl as fast as possible.
Yeah. And then when Kick-Ass and Red Mist go to meet Hit Girl and Big Daddy at their warehouse, the mobsters are already there and they've beaten up Big Daddy and Hit Girl already, and Red Mist double crosses Kick-Ass.
Puts a gun to his head.
Puts a gun to him, yeah. So, big reveal. Is this in the movie? Is Red Mist in the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's played by McLovin.
Yeah, okay, that's what I figured.
I was hoping I'd make time or remember to try and watch the movie. But now that it's fresh, I could watch it like anytime.
Yeah, it's been a while for me. But I remember liking the second one a lot, though.
The thing is that Red Mist kind of plays like a little bit different. He's like much douchier. And yeah. He's like more like what Kick-Ass thinks he is, you know? To where like you don't really think it, or you don't... I feel like it's a little more obvious that the double cross is coming. Like, he doesn't seem like a good guy.
Yeah,
and I think you also see like just his face when he's like with the mobsters early on.
Yeah.
To where like even when he puts the mask on, it's not like we're like, who's that? Like a Superman effect kind of thing.
Yeah. Like this is a pretty big reveal, I would say, like in this book. And it's like less obvious. I think if you were like really trying to like analyze this book, there's definitely like that foreshadowing. That
especially he'll double cross, like, I think it's just a couple pages that break up like, oh, that's the mobster's kid in the comic shop, and then Red Mist is here all of a sudden. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So well, exactly. That makes it like a little obvious. If it was like an issue apart or two.
Because they do go out of their way to be like, here's a new character.
Yeah.
But he just walks off, you know? So, that makes sense.
So.
But issue 7 is revealed that the Red Mist is John G's nerdy son. And he was tasked with delivering all three of them to John G. Doing this like Red Mist thing. But Big Daddy has like this combination case that's like locked. And he's not revealing the code for it. And then Hit Girl tries to stop the mobsters from shooting Big Daddy, but she gets shot and then falls through the window.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big moment. I do like when gunshots have like the trail that goes to like where the bullet hits.
It's the best.
It's so cool looking. They look like lasers or whatever, but yeah. I think it's good for like extra context. Oh, no,
they lasered her.
No, where they get these laser guns. But I think it's good for like extra context to see like where she's getting hit.
Maybe he drew that and it's like, why these look so much like lasers? And then he went back and drew like the panel with the pistol.
Yeah.
Like, all right, there we go.
That works better. Then the interrogation starts, and this is where Dave gets his nuts electrocuted, and he's like, and so now we're here. And he like immediately folds and he tells them everything that he knows. And it's also revealed that Big Daddy is not an ex-cop, and his wife wasn't killed. He's an accountant who hates his life. So he decided to fight crime with his daughter, and he funds everything by selling highly collectible comics in that suitcase. So there's a lot to analyze here, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
This suitcase is interesting because it's only got Marvel stuff, which right. makes me think that only Marvel signed off on this idea. Because most of the references are Marvel. They say Batman like a couple times.
Maybe this was in a time where he was like pretty hot in Marvel. Has he even done that much DC stuff?
No.
So that's probably why. Maybe he just kind of favors it.
I think he just like was able to talk to like their editorial or someone over at Marvel pretty high up and be like, can I just like put the Amazing Fantasy cover in here?
Yeah.
But yeah, they got, you know, first appearance of Spider-Man, first appearance of Fantastic Four. Avengers, Captain America. So what do you reckon this would be worth nowadays, assuming everything's like grade 9?
I don't know. It depends on like kind of how deep that...
Just what you see here. Let's say like that...
Oh, really? Maybe like 4 million?
I was going to say like 5 mil.
4 or 5, yeah.
Yeah, because what did that Amazing Fantasy go for?
Like 1.3, right?
Yeah. And I think that was like a pretty high grade.
Wasn't that a 10 or like a 9.6 or something?
I think it was like pretty high 9s. So just, yeah. Just Spider-Man alone would get you pretty much there, and then... X-Men and stuff would go pretty high. So
speaking of CGC ratings, I follow Mike Mayhew.
Okay. Right?
He did the artwork on the Obi-Wan stuff, and it looks like pretty realistic, you know, the photorealism kind of artwork.
The one that we read?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And he does a lot of like variants, right? And so what he does is he just like has a variant and then like will send like a box of those variants to CGC to have graded, and then he like signs them and stuff, and then he sells those on like his website, I guess. And I'm like, that's probably why CGC is backed up like 6 months, because artists are just like putting their variants like in this thing. Because like if he sends like a box of them of all the same thing,
yeah,
and none of them are like tens, which is crazy to me.
I guess like most in shipping, things that get printed aren't 10. Like if you get it like right off the thing, it's like, yeah, it's not gonna be a 10.
I can see, I pick shit up, I'm like, I just need the book, honestly. I'm not here for the collectability, you know?
Yeah.
Like, same. The corner is like a little rough, or like the,
yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. But I just think that's so funny. Cause you think like out the store it should be a 10.
Yeah.
You could go from like a 10 to a 9 just in the bag.
Yeah. Or just like sitting on the shelf for however long.
If you just breathe on it.
Yeah, pretty much. If you touch it with your greasy ass fingers.
Yeah, dude, you ever like look at it in the light and you can see
I'm like, that's not the grade. Four points.
I'm filthy.
Yeah, you feel filthy. Especially if it's like
I'm a nasty boy.
On a part that's like black ink and you could really see it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's embarrassing. I'm like want to put gloves on when I'm reading.
Yeah, grading is so insane. It'd be kind of cool to have that job just to see like, actually it'd be kind of shitty, I feel like, because most of the shit would not be like that impressive. But seeing like the cool stuff that comes in would be kind of fun.
Yeah, but, and then you just have to like pay the fee. So someone might just be trying to grade something that's like not really worth anything.
Yeah.
You know? So you just kind of have to deal with that shit.
I've done that. Or I've bought like graded books that like aren't really worth much, but I kind of like them. So I can see why people would send in just a random...
Just sentimental stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Like I have a random Quantum and Woody graded book.
Oh, cool. No, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome.
I agree.
Bad example.
Is it the one with them and Vincent Van Gogh?
No.
Ah, it's a great cover. We should read that.
We should, yeah.
I think it's on our list somewhere.
It's a good book.
Anyway, what are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about the books.
Yeah, so Big Daddy gets shot, and he's dead now. And then Kick-Ass convinces them to just beat him to death rather than shoot him. And so he gets beaten up a lot, but the metal plates that are in his head protect him, I guess. And the chair that he's on breaks, so he's able to escape. So he's already like pretty beaten up, and then he plans on just fighting them. And then Hit Girl comes in and helps to kill like all those men, and then they start heading for John G. He's like in a different part of the warehouse.
Yeah, because she's got a bulletproof vest, so she's okay.
Yeah, she was fine. I think that was pretty obvious.
Still kind of a high fall, but apparently she's fine.
Yeah, she'll just, you know, land. I feel
like this is like one of the most recognizable, like, I don't know, panels for JRJR, because I can just feel like I can take this and put it in like any comic, and it's this one right here.
Yeah.
I just feel like I've seen it like a million times.
Actually, I don't know if I've seen that one. I've seen the one just where like, Hit Girl like jumps in, because that's like a pretty good shot of her, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
So I've seen that one. But yeah.
I'm not saying like this is like iconic, but I just feel like his Batman has had this face, you know, and like that shape.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
And like the.
Maybe he just copies and pastes and then just draws.
Basically.
Draws the hair.
Essentially. I don't know. It just looks so John Romita to me.
Yeah, it does. He does a lot. And maybe it's his inker. I guess I don't really know. But I think in his pencils a lot, he does like a lot of contouring to like show the shape of someone's face. So like all those vertical or the horizontal lines that like make the shape of his face. And when someone's like super bruised up, he puts like more on there.
Yeah. To see like how.
To see how round the swelling is. Right. So.
I suppose.
But yeah.
I don't like it. What you mean. Anyway, keep going.
It's funny when he gets knocked over and you just see his ass cheeks. Because his pants were down because he was getting his nuts shocked. But Hit Girl does a Star Wars execution. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then I like that she's still motivated even though she heard that her dad like made the whole thing up.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. Obviously, like her dad did get killed, so that would be enough motivation. But yeah, she was still like, no time to process this right now.
Yeah.
So then last issue 8, Hit Girl takes a drug called Condition Red that she got from her dad.
Yeah, dude. She just has instant, Compound V or some shit.
It's just like instant roids, pretty much.
She's like, it gives me the strength of 10 men. She's like, is that cocaine?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, this is just drugs. And she's like, no, it's built in a lab.
I didn't know anything about that. And I can't remember if that was used in the movie.
I think it is.
Okay. That's sick, though.
And then they fight their way out of an elevator using a flamethrower that she has just on her.
Dude, those things are so heavy. How does that work?
Where did she get that? But it looks great. I like the coloring of this.
Like, maybe it's one of those like Elon Musk flamethrowers.
Oh, yeah. Pretty small.
Yeah. Handheld. Yeah.
So, dope double page spread here. I like how you can see the movement of like the flamethrower. It was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, then Kick-Ass goes to fight Red Mist while Hit Girl fights like another dozen guys.
Yeah.
Which I like that that's how they've balanced it. But... Hit Girl gets grabbed and Kick-Ass has to intervene and he shoots a guy in his nuts, which is kind of like a poetic kind of payback, I would say.
Sure.
And then Hit Girl does the rest of the shooting for everybody else.
But dude, John G, like...
He gets cleaved? Is that him that gets cleavered in the head? Or
I can't remember, but he has like a meat tenderizer and when Hit Girl's like, someone grabbed her for a second, he's...
Oh, yeah.
Beating her face with it.
That would hurt so bad.
Like, no, her teeth. Yeah, I just kept thinking about her teeth for some reason.
Her molars are definitely out.
I know.
Yeah, I think it is John G that gets cleavered in the head, which is pretty satisfying.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
Yeah. And then I like just the...
Who's that dude from Chew? Tony's partner?
Yeah.
Colby. John Colby.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's like he got Colby'd.
Yeah, he did. What else we got here? Yeah, a lot of blood, a lot of things happening. I like that Kick-Ass sticks with his, like, not really killing anybody sort of shtick.
Yeah, it didn't seem like he was ready for that.
That stayed, like, consistent throughout this because he, like, shoots someone in the nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think John G gets shot in the nuts and he gets cleavered. So he really got the wombo combo there.
Is that him?
Yeah. Because I think it's John G that's hitting him with the meat tenderizer, and you see like the same clothes kind of on him.
Okay, gotcha.
And then to wrap up, Hit Girl goes to find her real mom, who is still alive, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
And then Dave admits that he's not gay, and then he gets his ass beat by Katie's new boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And then Dave's dad is getting some ass.
Good.
And then there's a tease for like a new villain that's rising online.
So is this not just Red Mist?
I think it is, but I can't say for sure. I'd have to read
some
the next
other
one.
Guy. Why'd they
it
go
seems
with
pretty
red?
Red Mist
yeah.
to me. So
I guess the mask is like a little different because like
the mask is different. He's got a pointy facial hair.
And longer hair. And he's
longer
got
hair,
these
right? So
spikes
I don't
or
know.
Something on his elbows.
Yeah, I'm not
you
sure.
You just think
that
it'd
is.
Be like a different color.
It's not like, clear. Which I think is why they do that, because they're like, is that the same guy? Because he's still alive.
Did he kill the Red Mist?
No.
Okay.
He just knocked him out. He hit him in the face with a board or something.
I thought it was like the legs of the chair he was on.
Yeah, because he took the legs of the chair and he kind of like hits his face with it.
I feel like that wasn't the best choice. Maybe it's all he had, because there's not always like a lot of
weight.
He
doesn't have his batons.
True.
So he just uses the chair. So yeah, pretty good. So let's get into some back matter matters.
Back matter matters.
We got the creator bios, and they're like, oh my god, Mark Miller, he's so cool. He's got the best-selling comics of all time, pretty much.
Yeah, real big guy.
And then J.R.J.R. has been on also a lot of things, like Amazing Spider-Man, Iron Man, Daredevil. Oh yeah, I forgot he did Daredevil. It's like one of his most popular works.
Who's he done it with?
Frank Miller.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
World War Hulk. Do you like this more, his art here, more than in World War Hulk? Because I feel like that's pretty a definitive one for him, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, that one, I really didn't know him that well. And so it didn't, like, stick out to me as much.
Gotcha.
But even, like, going back, I'd still think that it was, like, done pretty well. Because it's, like, a little bit closer to the norm. But this is kind of, like, allowing him to be him, but it's still, like, really working for me.
Yeah.
Because it's more...
he can play to his strengths.
It's his own style, yeah.
Yeah. We got some variants. So there's a director's cut variant, which is kind of cool. I'd be interested in reading that, actually. Dude, this Steve McNiven cover is so good.
Fire. Incredible.
I love Steve McNiven. The dude's so good. The pencils for the different covers, which pretty good. It seems like he does actually use a lot of that contouring in his art. So I think the inker just kind of goes over that.
Yeah.
And then it's just like plugging the rest of his work like it always does. I always look at this Miller World list and I'm like, I've read like most of this. So I've done pretty good.
So we almost got like most of them.
I've read like six of these.
Let's see here. I've read five.
Actually, I've also read five.
Okay.
Just reading through it again. You've read Super Cooks, right?
Yeah.
Did you read MPH?
Yep.
And then the Jupiters?
Yep. I just read one Jupiter.
Oh, you haven't read Circle yet?
No.
And then Reborn, right? That's what those.
I read Empress too.
Oh, okay. So then you got okay. I've read outside of those. I've read Huck and Chrononauts.
Okay, gotcha.
So
we make up for where we lack.
Yeah.
I think I have most of his books. I just haven't like read them.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't know he did a book with Goran Parlov. So that's pretty cool.
Which one's that?
Starlight.
I don't know Goran Parlov. I don't think
He's done some pretty good Punisher stuff. I follow him on Twitter, so he's posted some good stuff. I also didn't know that Nemesis was with Steve McNiven, so that's pretty sweet.
Where do we know Steve McNiven from?
I know him from a bunch of Wolverine stuff.
Okay, because it looks familiar, like his artwork.
Yeah, he would do Death of Wolverine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha. That's it, probably.
Yeah. So pretty good.
Yeah.
What would you rate this book, Daniel?
Then gotta give it a gotta have it.
Yeah.
Big fan. Liked it a lot.
Yeah, same here. Gotta have it.
Like, this was like something that I was like thinking about like when I wasn't reading it, you know, when I had to take a break or something or like go do something else. And I was like I was just excited reading it, you know?
Same. Like, I feel like it's just really scratched that itch for just like a like solid story that's looks and feels very fresh still for some reason. Like, I don't even really know why.
Yeah.
Because it's not like he's creating any, like, archetypes or anything
yeah.
that will change fiction. But I just feel like it has good pacing and it's like easy to get through and it's fun to read. So like this is just peak comics.
Like you don't like need a lot to make something good. Like yeah. It doesn't have to be the most original idea. It doesn't have to be have like the craziest twist ever or anything. But it's just gotta be like
it's told well.
Told well.
Good pacing.
Pacing, characters, artwork, you know, violence. I like violence.
Yeah.
But yeah, good stuff.
Very good.
And what I liked about this is like it was gory, but it didn't feel quite as like dark as what was that book we read? Luther Strode.
Luther Strode, yeah.
Yeah, or like the Keanu Reeves one.
Berserker.
Berserker, you know.
Forgetting all these things that we read.
Oh, my brain is fried.
Yeah.
It's only Wednesday.
End of the week, though, for us. Mm-hmm. About the time of recording.
Yeah, good stuff. Shall we get into, or how do you feel? What'd you rate it?
I already gotta have it, yeah. Lots of strawberry, fucking, what do they call it? Sauce or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's just pretty good.
Did he... Was there anything that he liked in this? Like, did you talk about food at all? Or did he...
That Dave?
Yeah.
No, I don't think there was... I didn't see a single character eat anything in this whole book. That's my one gripe with it.
Yeah.
My one piece of criticism. No one ate anything.
I know.
Just kidding. But, yeah, well, really
good. Well, no. Doesn't Hit Girl and Big Daddy go get ice cream?
Oh, they do go get ice cream. So oh, it's got to be a gotta have
it. They get a sundae.
Yeah.
So I get a gotta have it sundae.
A gotta have it after you get shot in the chest by your dad.
With a sore chest.
It always feels so much better. Pretty good. So let's get into the pull list. Colin.
Shove in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
You know, I had a huge week today. Huge week this week.
Huge week? Okay.
Yeah. I know you probably haven't gone, right?
You know, I had time to go today, but I like went to the store and I was so over parking, you know.
That's fair.
Because the store is just a nightmare at the moment. And so I really didn't feel like going anywhere else.
Okay.
Especially out of the way.
Yeah, that's fair.
But what'd you get?
I had a big week, but luckily for some reason, the comic shop I go to, Atomic Comics, shout out, they were doing 20% off of all new number one, like all new books today.
Cool. That's crazy.
They had like I think it's like their 1 year anniversary already over there.
Yeah.
And so they had like a bunch of different things, like all of the...
I saw the sales. They had 20% off of like trades yesterday.
Yeah. They had like 40% off of back issues. They had like 10% off of like glass case comics.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So some pretty good stuff. So that actually helped me a lot. I got seven books for $25, $26. So
nice.
That's crushed.
That's how it should be. You know?
Yeah, exactly. But I got Vanish number 3.
Okay.
Daredevil number 5.
Right.
8 Billion Genies number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Really excited about that one. Human Target this week.
Number 9.
I love that book. I abbreviated all these, so I got to figure out. Okay. Once Upon a Time at the End of the World.
Number 1. Yeah.
Number 1. Yeah. I'm really excited on that one. As well. Doctor Strange by Trad Moore.
Oh, that did come out.
I like remember hearing about that book and I was like, this is going to be amazing. And then I forgot about it. And I saw it there and I was like, holy fuck.
Which is like, that's what our lives are now.
Because I'm trying not to like pick up a whole lot of number ones at the moment. But when Jason Aaron comes out with an Image book and then Trad Moore.
On art.
Dude. On Doctor Strange.
Because remember, like you were saying, like you're only going to buy new stuff that are like certified bangers. But you already know that's going to be a certified
banger.
Those are
two certified bangers, hopefully.
And I think his Doctor Strange run is only going to be like 4 issues or something.
No, so. I can't imagine him writing and drawing anything long term.
Right. So.
And then what's the furthest place from here? Number 8.
Correct.
So.
Did you happen to see Batman Fortress number 7?
I did, and I don't remember where I am on that book, so I just didn't pick it up.
I'm on 2, but I like Derek Robertson.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
I think I picked up 5 and I missed 6. And I picked up whichever one like Chip is on, the variant cover for. He's like the squirrel Green Lantern.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I can't remember which one that one is, but those are the ones I picked up.
Nice. I was probably going to get most of those too.
Mm-hmm.
With no sale.
Yeah. Without 20% off.
have you happened to read anything? I know it was a little bit of a longer book, but it didn't feel like it, you know?
Yeah, I read some stuff.
What you got?
I read Chroma number 1 from Lorenzo De Felici.
Oh, yeah?
It was an oversized issue.
Nice.
But it felt pretty good.
Okay.
And it is, like, it's a really good book. He's definitely drawing to strengths. The idea definitely plays into, like, strength in the medium a lot. So, like, the kind of story revolves around this dude living in a world that has been stripped of color, because anything that's been super bright is attracted to monsters that are there. And so he lives in this city that's closed off, that's mainly like pale or like gray tone, and everything that they like wear is gray in tone, like a lot of the time, and they're just like white people a lot of the time. Right, so
the monsters ain't all black people,
pretty much. Well, actually no, there are black people. I don't even know why I said white people. But so yeah, he just like lives in this world where everybody's kind of like doing their part, like trying to just survive in this like limited lifespan. But sometimes they have to go outside of this town to go hunt for stuff, and that's like a big, beautiful, colorful world and stuff. There's no girls there except for this one girl who is trapped in this like high place, and she's got two different colored eyes, and that's evil, Daniel. You don't like that. But it just plays into like this idea of like color theory a lot. He like wrote a lot about it at like the back of the issue about like why he wanted to do this story, and he's really passionate about it. And the coloring that is in this book, ironically, fucking phenomenal.
Nice.
So really cool.
So wait, there's no girls in like the gray city?
Yeah, I didn't understand that part specifically. It's like a little bit fantasy, and so there's just some things that girls you're reading.
Girls are too colorful,
maybe. Girls are too colorful. Yeah. But like, I don't know how it all works logistically, because it is all dudes, except for this one girl that they have high in this like high place, like tower that's guarded, that he manages to get into, and it's a girl. And he's like, "You're a monster. Like, you're a girl." And she's like, "I know I am. I should like be killed." And then he's like, "You got two different colors eyes." And she's like, "I do? That's fucked up." And kind of thing. So
that's the worst.
There's like a love story thing brewing there. But yeah, it's really good.
Very interesting.
And then I read Old Dog number 2 and Kaya number 2. Both of which I don't think I'm going to continue on. Kaya is a very fantasy book.
Oh, okay.
And I just like, I like what I'm seeing visually. Like it's really fun.
I know exactly what you mean.
But I just like, they're like, "We got to go get the humdinger at the," and I'm like, "What?" And they're like, it's like this girl with like a magical arm. And I think that looks really cool visually. But then everything else is like, they're traveling to some place for the king or the queen or something with lizard people that are running around. But the lizards ride other lizards. So I don't really understand what the hierarchy there is. So yeah, I'm probably going to drop that one. But it looks great. And then Old Dog, I still don't really know what's going on. And I don't know if that's because it's supposed to be on purpose or if I missed something. And I might flip through the third issue because visually he's a really good storyteller.
Sure.
But I think there's aspects of the book that he tried to tell visually that I'm just too stupid to understand.
Right.
Because I think there's an aspect where this dude's old, but he's not always old. But he was old this entire book. So now I'm really confused. But so yeah, that's what I read this week.
Nice.
What'd you read? Did you read anything?
Yeah, I've been blown through I Hate Fairyland.
Oh, I read that today too, actually.
Yeah, so
I read the new one. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not going to be like a skipper like you.
Oh, I skipped?
I'm reading. Do you understand what's going on?
Yeah.
Do you think there's spoilers in what you read?
They do like two double page spread recaps.
Nope, don't want it.
And
I'd rather read it.
There's like, most of the first and second double page spread was just the first trade. Okay. I could tell. Like, they even like reference like visually like things in the first trade, because they're like, "Oh, Gertrude's this like crazy like bitch," basically. And like, it shows like the moon getting shot from the cannon.
Yeah, great.
Remember, that's great, a great panel. Yeah. But there's only one thing where I was like, okay, I guess that's where that leads, but I could have guessed that. But it's still really good, actually, because it feels like Scotty Young art. It's phenomenal.
Right.
Like, really, really fun visually. There's mystery in there that I'm interested to see how it develops and stuff. But yeah, overall, like, it's hard to do a sequel to something that creative, I feel like, in a series. But they definitely did it the right way.
Yeah, because the original series is only like 20 issues.
Yeah.
Which is pretty short. I'm on like 13 right now.
Yeah. And there's like a definitive end that would be like, okay, this was a just really good, satisfying story, I feel like. I don't know. I haven't read it all, but
yeah. I can like kind of guess to come back where it's to that. Going to that. So,
and I can imagine for Scotty, it'd be hard to come back to that.
Yeah.
And there's a good reason for it, I'll just say.
Sure. I have the like deluxe editions. Like I have like one like over there.
Oh, cool.
And that is like such a good way to read that book.
Because
I think I read it like digitally at first.
Yeah.
But like just like the pages being like bigger, and it'll be really tough to like probably transition from Scotty's art to whoever's doing it now. Just because I think it's like so good.
It is so good.
And just seeing like not just his covers, just his like sequential stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is really good. I will say that I thought it was Scotty's art at first when I picked it up last week.
That's cool.
And then I had to like really, I think I saw one panel and I was like, is this him? And then I looked and then that's when I found out. But it's like pretty close.
Okay.
That's so fine, I think that was definitely top of mind for him when he was writing it. Like I need to be hooked with an artist that can have my kind of like crass style.
Yeah.
And I think whoever is doing it, I think it's a girl. I think she did great.
It's also really cool reading it on like the bigger pages because like the speech bubbles are bigger and it's just like easier to read.
Yeah,
you know? And it's awesome.
Yeah, that's definitely a good way to read that book.
Highly recommend. You can borrow the first one if you want.
Is that just the first trade or?
It's the first 10. So it's the first two trades.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it's just those two books and then.
Yeah.
Whatnot. That's all I read. Did you watch anything new?
I watched like 55% of Morbius.
You watch Morbius?
I was building Carter his PC. I was helping build that yesterday and we put on a movie. And so I watched like the first act of Morbius pretty like fully and then just kind of dropped off as I was trying to like partition windows and shit.
Yeah.
Not bad actually.
Yeah, no. It's I don't think it deserves the hate that it got, but still not a good movie.
It's not great. I think it was good getting separated from that and then watching it.
Yeah.
It's also good to watch it with your expectations low.
Definitely.
But I forgot like Tyrese Gibson was in it. I'm like, oh shit, that guy. And then I also forgot that Matt Smith was in it.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, that guy. So I think that helped my expectations of it. It's like also fun watching it with friends.
Oh yeah.
Because when he's in like that glass box when he first gets morbed and he's just like running around and like hitting glass, it's like really funny.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
That's funny.
That's the only new thing I watched, though.
Then I finished Tales of the Jedi.
Nice.
And that show is 10 out of 10.
Really? Okay, yeah. Cool.
Like, you got to watch it.
Without watch any it. Clone Wars context or anything?
No, no, no. You just know Ahsoka's a person.
Okay, cool.
And that's it.
So, how long is it?
So there, I think that's 6 episodes.
That are...
Maybe 8, and they're like 15 minutes.
Sweet.
Like, you can... Yeah, like it's so easy to watch them all, and once you start watching them, you'll be like, I gotta watch the next one. You know what I mean?
Cool.
And there's one in particular. I was like fucking like stunned. Like I felt like my body was dead, and I could in my almost like an out of body experience. But I was like,
oh my God,
I was not even like existing in my room watching it on my phone or whatever.
You're watching on your phone?
Sometimes I was watching it like. I watched an episode like on a treadmill, right?
Okay, that's fair.
Actually, no. So I was like on the couch in this episode. I felt like I wasn't even on my couch watching it. I was like there, you know. I was in it. Like I was one with the energy.
Fully
of this
immersed.
Episode. Yeah.
Okay.
It was absolutely insane. I was like, my eyes are glued to the television.
That's sick.
Because I could not believe how good it was, like what I was watching.
Was it a Dave Filoni thing?
All Dave Filoni, yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Written and directed, you know.
Whoa.
So
very cool.
I think at least. But yeah, great stuff.
Love that guy.
They need to have more. I'd be very excited. Oh dude, not really comic news, but you remember that show Murderville?
Yeah.
With give me just the first letter of the first name.
W.
Will Arnett.
Yeah, there it is.
They're doing a Christmas special.
No, I love Christmas specials, dude.
I can't fucking wait. They're not doing like a whole nother season. They're just doing a Christmas special.
I love that.
It's dude, coming out on like the 15th.
The Solar Opposites Christmas special is still one Peak. Of my favorite TV experiences of all time.
Easily. I was thinking I want to rewatch it this year.
You should watch
that while decorating the tree.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, like, yeah, they're doing that. It's going to have fucking Jason Bateman.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And then that one girl from SNL who's like
the blonde one.
No, she's black. She's like light skin. She plays like the hormone monster in
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember her name. It's Maya Rudolph, maybe?
Perhaps.
I can't remember. But yeah, she's in it too. And I assume it's going to be longer, but if not, it's totally cool.
That's sick.
And I saw a trailer for it just on like TikTok. I'm like, oh my God, I totally forgot about this
show. That's sick. Yeah, I totally forgot about it too. That's funny.
And then, you know, I've been rewatching New Girl.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the like first episode that had Tran in it.
Oh, dude.
The like that got me like way too fucking emotional.
Dude, me too. Him. I put on a random episode. I put on a random episode like when we were trying to figure something out to watch while we were eating.
Yeah.
And it was that episode.
Yeah. Because like it was when he's so full of joy and he's so
and he takes him to the
perfect
to the sauna thing.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. And he just like picks him up and he's like, okay, this is happening.
He's like, all right.
He's so cool. But yeah, Tran. What a goat.
He's like, you want me to take my shirt off? Yeah, and I was just so, it made me so sad. And I don't it even know sad. If Sarah knew that he passed or anything when we were watching it.
Did you have to break it to her?
No, I didn't want to take that from her.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
Just let her just think that everyone in this show lives forever. But like just how important he was to like those episodes, you know?
He does crush it every time. Crushes it. So
they need to make a like a Tran Funko Pop or something.
They need to make a Tran
anything.
Prequel show. They just say a single thing the whole time.
Ooh, that'd be something.
Yeah.
Anyway, is that the show?
No, I also played the new Warzone.
Oh, how's that?
It's pretty sick.
Better than old Warzone?
Yes.
Wow.
Because there's a proximity chat now.
I saw that. Yeah, you sent me a video of it.
Yeah, it's really funny. Most of the time you just get called the N-word, I've discovered. But there's like when you load into the lobby, it just like lets everybody's mic go, which is just an ape house. Like,
yeah,
nothing in that is like eligible in any form or fashion. It's just like people like screaming and stuff. And it freaks me out every time because I forget about it every time. Like we'll be loading into a lobby with like the squad of four that I have. And then we'll be loading in for like a minute. And then just I'll be like trying to change my class or something. And yeah. I just hear 100 people all talking at once. And then you have to like mute it, but you have to click a certain button. So when I'm like messing with my class, I just hear all of it happen and I freak out and I have to like back out of everything.
You get like a jump scare.
Yeah,
like
I do. I get
every 30 minutes or whatever.
Yeah. And that's hilarious. I've won a couple times, so that's fun. I think it's because people don't know the map yet, so I have like an advantage or I'm more leveled with everybody.
Okay.
But I was going to bring up a specific moment. I forget. Oh, there was a point where I was just looting inside of this house. I was alone. And I heard proximity chat of people running up and they were talking about their graphics card that they have. And it's a lesser graphics card than mine. And so I was like, I have a 3070. And I wiped their whole team. And I thought it was so funny. And they did too. And it was just a wholesome gamer moment.
Nice. So you gotta love that.
And it's fun seeing videos of people just like knock someone out and they'll have like a self revive of the person that's like knocked down. And so they'll just like give them a trivia question to like let them survive. And that's pretty funny.
Nice.
Or like some people are running like an Uber service where they'll just like drive up in a car and it'll be like Uber and then like honk or whatever. And then they'll have the person just lay down on top of their car and drive them somewhere. and then they'll like drop them money. So yeah. I think it's all really funny, but it's good.
Nice.
So
it's funny. I think that seems like such a chaotic idea.
It is. To
have the proximity chat.
And most of the time it's just like people breathing really hard and you're like, oh, there must be someone in this house because I hear proximity chat.
Yeah.
So like,
so if you you're trying can to hear other people's proximity chats.
Yeah. Like people not on my team.
Okay. Wait, doesn't it only happen when you kill somebody or down somebody?
No, it's like they'll be fully alive and I'll be like running up towards a house and then the proximity chat will like activate it. So I'll know that like there's somebody in the house. So like you can turn it off for yourself, but most people it's on by default. So people will just have it on. And
it seems like more fun.
It is more fun. Yeah,
that's it is funny.
It's really so
especially I'm like your other team, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
So pretty fun.
Anything else you tried out?
No, I think that's it.
Alrighty,
so that's a show.
Sure is.
What are we gonna read next week?
Next week is a very special episode, Nathan, isn't it?
Oh yes, it is.
It is your birthday week.
I've thought about this a lot.
You get to choose whatever book you want to do. I have no say. I will say my opinion, but I will read it anyway. So what are we reading next week?
I was thinking really hard about this. At first, I was going to go with Blackest Night, but that's kind of long. And so I went away from that.
Okay. Is that the one I wouldn't want to read?
I don't think you would want to read it. Maybe you would.
I don't know. I like the toys that come out of it and it seems cool. Wait, you would make me read the whole thing?
Yeah, but I don't want to read the whole thing right now. And I can't. There's How long is it? It's like 300 pages.
Jesus. Okay.
For like 8 issues.
It's not the hardest thing we've ever done.
I know, but I just don't want to read it yet. Maybe next Halloween or something. But then I was like trying to remember like
what are things. Does that count as horror?
Kind of. Yeah. It's a bunch of zombified DC characters.
Oh. All right, go ahead.
And then I was like, what are some things that I've read that I thought were really good a while ago? And there's like Nova by Jeff Loeb in Ed McGuinness, I think. There's like Sinestro, a really good Sinestro book that I've read, but I can't remember if that's actually going to be good or not. And then there's like Captain Atom as well. But I think I'm just going to go with something that I haven't read that I think will be really good.
Okay.
And we're going to go with... I want to read this for a particular person, but it's The Brave and the Bold, Batman and Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Written and drawn by Liam Sharp.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is like a book that I think came out with Rebirth stuff. It's a limited run of a Batman and Wonder Woman story, and it looks really good.
Huh.
And a lot of people talk about this a lot now. It seems like it's like gotten like a cult almost following.
Okay.
Since after it's come out. So I really want to read this. Interesting. So this is what I choose.
Okay. Let me.
And I've tried to get you. I've tried to have us read it a couple times. We didn't really like have a reason to. And so this is why I want to read it. Which also kind of fits in as well. Because like the first comic I ever read was a Brave and the Bold comic.
Was it really?
Yeah. So that'll be the one that we read.
Gotcha. 144. I like it.
Yeah. Pretty good length, I would say. Looks great. So that's the show.
It sure is. If you didn't listen to me earlier, go like that YouTube video if you're watching.
Go like it. Daniel puts a lot of work into it.
Yeah, I know. I see the views, but I don't know what that means. You know,
we don't really know what any of it means.
If you don't like it, dislike it, tell me.
That'd be cool.
Give me some feedback. And like, we haven't had any comments. You know, like I know that like there's enough views to where like I'm like there could be a comment. You know,
sure.
But you know.
No one wants to be the first, I guess.
Yeah, no one wants to pop our cherry. Because once you get comments and they don't stop, Nathan.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just like a nice silent fandom we have, which is totally fine. And you can also tell us what we should read. Huh?
What to read.
What to read. And send us an email at traverspod@gmail.com.
Or on the comments.
Have you looked at that recently?
Yeah.
No, nothing?
Nope.
Alrighty. Not even spam?
Oh, yeah. We get tons of spam.
Okay.
We get tons of like emails that are like, here's how you can elevate your podcast. Join our program. And I'm like, I don't want to do that.
I don't want to pay for nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, go like, subscribe. Stuff's in the link tree. Follow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we'll see you next week.
All right.
Or you'll see us.
Peace.
Bye-bye.